Okay, today is October the 1st. Turned over another month. And we have a lot to talk about, have a lot to go over. So let's just get in our mode. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You that we can always depend upon You, and that You are a good and gracious and just God. There's so many issues that swirl into our life every single day. It's hard for us to process them, much less remember them and learn from them, but we can if we have the focus upon what is really important in this life. And then we have the responsibility to give that clearly to others. We want to look for those opportunities, and we want to be able to impart not only the good news, but the greatest news. That we will stand for truth in every area of life. Not in a haughty or arrogant way, but in a gentle and peaceful way that people can understand that You are the Creator of all things. And they can see You in every aspect of this life. So we pray that You will help us to focus on the message this evening, that we will be edified by it. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Y'all bear with me just a moment. I have to bring up, not for y'all, but for me, we still have something in there that's not right. We're going to see what the problem is. For those who are live streaming, you can go to the website if you have any difficulty and email us and let us know if we're doing it, if you're having any problems or if it's coming through just fine. Because we don't have any way to know otherwise. I guess I don't have to get my my PowerPoint up because it wouldn't do any good. We don't see it. Okay, the first thing that we're going to talk about, there's so much to talk about. But the first thing we're going to cover is what I just saw probably about an hour ago, maybe an hour and a half ago. I turned on the TV and they were talking about another shooting that occurred in Oregon. I think it was a junior college. Yeah, and there was 13 killed and 20 wounded. The president got on the television and we all recognize that it's frustrating. We don't like to hear this kind of news. But we have to continue to think clearly when things like this happen. The president was advocating changing the laws regarding, gun control laws. Well, you can't do that unless you do away with the Second Amendment to begin with. And as convincing as he was trying to be, there's some hurdles that they cannot get over. And one of those hurdles is the fact that by making it harder for people to get guns, law-abiding citizens, all you do is make them easier prey for those who are going to have guns. In other words, passing laws are only for those who are law-abiding. And they're not the trouble to begin with. They're not the problem. And to take away a God-given right to defend yourself with the idea that you're going to stop criminals who by their very definition of who they are don't obey the law anyway. So how much sense does it make to try to put more gun control laws in place that's going to make the general public who are law-abiding less safe? And it's not going to stop them from getting guns to begin with, because there's over 200 million guns in this country. It's one of the easiest things you can acquire. And you can't do that unless you change the laws. And that's what he is advocating, changing the laws. Actually, I think what he's talking about is adding more gun control laws and more severe ones onto the books, which will only make it harder for people in general to be able to defend themselves. But there's going to be a hue and cry across the land. It is every time that something like this happens. What I haven't heard mentioned was the fact that there is a thread, there's a pattern of people who do this kind of thing that usually have some type of drug in their life. A lot of times it's antidepressants. It's all the drugs are, and I'm talking about legal drugs, are just everywhere. They're easy to get, and they don't talk about that. Another thing that I wanted to point out is that why is this still happening in school? Why is it that schools that do this? Now, most schools are supposedly gun-free zones. And it's like hanging out a sign. If you're a nut job and you want to make the headlines, come here and you can kill more people, and there might even be a chance that you're not going to be killed or maybe even wounded. And so that's somewhat insane. Now, I heard a blurb that said that this school allowed students to carry weapons if they have a permit for it. I think that I heard that right. But I can assure you that if even people who are mentally unstable, if they knew that everyone in that school was armed to the teeth, especially the teachers, the principal, everyone around there, if they were armed to the teeth, that would reduce it drastically. They said that they had a security guard, but he didn't even have a gun. I mean, how much of a deterrent is a security guard without a gun these days? So there's a lot that's going to come out of this, and I just want to remind you that no matter what happens, as big a tragedy as this may be, trying to tinker with the Second Amendment, and even I'm sure if they had their way, would just rescind it altogether. But the good thing, see, we have a Constitution, and you just can't do that. Even if you try to pass an executive order, I don't think we're so far down the tubes that the American people would not rise up and go down to the White House with pitchforks and torches. The only way to change the Constitution is by amending it and going through the process. And that's hard to do. It was meant to be harder to do because it ought not to be tinkered with for the most part. And so we have that protection. But I'm telling you that they're going to try every way that they can, hook or crook, in order to change the laws. And a lot of times, I wouldn't be surprised if he just makes an executive order and they start carrying it out as if it was the law of the land. It's no more the law of the land than a Supreme Court opinion is the law of the land. But in our day and in our society, you never know where that is headed. So I just thought I'd throw those few comments out to maybe mitigate some of the insanity that you're going to be hearing. And there's going to be people that are very emotional, and they're going to say that we can't have this happen anymore. That's essentially what the president was saying, is that this has become routine. And again, I think there are measures that you can take to keep this from being routine, but they're not willing to do it. They're going in the wrong direction as far as I'm concerned. Yes. If you have your child in school, And they seem to be the targets. Certainly you'd want them to be at least be able to defend themselves. I don't know if everyone heard that. Well, that's good news that the schools are starting to let the... Well, the cry is going up already, and it's going to be a lot of people who are saying it's time. And when people get emotional and not thinking, they don't recognize that the Bill of Rights don't come from the government. The government did not give us those rights. God did. The government's job is to protect those rights, not to attack them. And for whatever reason, they have no legitimate authority to do so. And so if the people recognize that, then there's hope for us. But if those schools are armed to the teeth, even the students, even if someone's crazy enough to go in there, he's not going to murder 13 people. He might get off one or two shots, but then he's going to look like Swiss cheese by the time they get him out of there. That's what would be good. Yes? Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I guess things will be... I'd tell him it's none of your business. And then I'd probably be the first one shot. Yeah, but I don't think you'd have time to explain that. Yes, I hope they're... Do you think, Vidal, do you think they're picking this up on the mic here? Well, I guess we need to be getting it. I thought this might be picking them up. Go back. I know. No. Yeah, you do.
No, she did.
After the president talked, they mentioned that over the weekend there were 50 people killed by gun violence in Chicago, city of Chicago.
Yeah.
The president didn't talk about that.
Yeah, and they weren't using the big magazines either and assault rifles. And the black on blacks, which is what most of that is, gangs. That's never mentioned. That's still off limits. Yes? Oh, yeah. The cities that have the most stringent gun laws are the ones that are the most dangerous. Yes? Is that on? I don't think it's on. Did it go dead? Hold it there anyway. Yeah. Is it working now, Danny? Okay. Better say it one more time so they can hear it online. One more time so they can hear it online.
Okay. Hundreds of cases around the world I read on the Internet, and I read a lot of them in detail, have been caused by people who do these mass murder sprees, especially in schools, because of the antidepressants they were on. They've linked them over and over and over and over again, and this information just isn't getting out.
No, that's true. You have something? Okay.
The drugs they give the children for ADHD and the ADD are also causing these kinds of problems, and they also give them to adults, and the adults go bananas.
You know, the drugs, the antidepressants, which they're giving them in school now, instead of when they get misbehaving, rather than give them the back of their hand, they give them Ritalin and they give them all these other strong drugs. So, plus, we live in a culture that is decadent, and they're brought up believing evolution, and if they're just an accident of a bunch of molecules coming together, that doesn't say much for the importance of life that is given in our schools. Okay, now, I want to also say on a better note, report a little bit about our Good News Club today. I hope that y'all were praying for us. It appeared that you were. because we had a lot of kids there. I think we were supposed to have 27, but I know we had more than that by the time we were done. They just kept coming in, trickling in, and there was only 30 minutes left, and some of the kids were still coming in, which was really put us in kind of a pickle because they're supposed to have permission slips, and you're supposed to go through all this bureaucratic stuff in the middle of a program, and it just... Anyway, we were able to get through it, and there were, what was it, 4 or 5 kids that raised their hand and said they wanted to know how to go to heaven, and we have counselors that would take them to the side and give them that information. And so, I don't know, there might have been, 2 or 3, 4 kids maybe were saved today. It appears. What do you say, Pete?
Little kid that I had, what grade he was it, second grader or first grader? But anyhow, it was he didn't quite understand it, but the seed's there, and all you got to do is keep cultivating. I said, well, you just remember one thing, what I've said here. I said, do you think you can go to heaven by, did you hear that today, that you can go by being a good boy? Yeah. I said, no, that you need to make that decision that Christ, God sent his son to pay for it, and that's a free gift. You don't work for it. But he was having a hard time putting it together. But the seed's there, and it can be crowded out by the thistles and the thorns or the dry ground and so forth. But if we just trust God to take that further.
Yeah. Well, we had 36 there? Wow, that's about 10 more. No, that's about 9 more, I guess, than we thought we were going to have. Yeah. Oh, and... I wish you could have been there. We had a video of it. I was so proud of everyone that was there. Candy and Barbara both were kind of in charge of the program, and they just couldn't have done a better job. And I am very glad that we had the number of people that we had there, because we went in there with 13 people, and I thought, well, this might be overkill. It was not overkill. Noreen did a good job in taking care of the people that came in later. Because they'd have to, do you have your permission slip? And there's always extenuating circumstances and get all the paperwork done. And there was nobody to do that. And she was able to keep that away from the program. And just everybody that was involved just gave it their all. And you all ought to just be very proud of them. Even if you weren't there, I'm giving you this report. Gave it their all. And I'm just very proud to be associated with it. Yes. Okay. Now we could still use volunteers, but especially remember at Thursday around 3:30, be in prayer for us, because listen, when those kids start coming through those doors, I mean we were all set. We prayed and then we went in there and we got everything as set as we could, and then stampede, and here they come and they just. I think Danny said we're herding cats. I mean, you go over here, put your bag over here, but it was fun. I think this was a memorable experience for all of us in our training and going through this as well. And it will take you out of your comfort zone, and that's where we need to be, just relying on the Lord. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Colossians. Are we making progress? Oh, we are? Okay. This means I have to stretch. Oh, yeah, I don't have any. There's been times that I've come and forgot my pen drive. That means I have no notes whatsoever. And I just asked the Lord, okay, you're dealing with this stupid guy. I can't remember to get the notes here. And it's amazing. Sometimes those are some of the best times. Because the Lord evidently wanted something else or another approach or something. Look at that. Will y'all give him a hand, please? Brett, you need to show me how you work your magic someday. I don't know if it'll do any good, though. Huh? No, y'all aren't supposed to be looking. there. I have to. I'm going to bring up the PowerPoint. I guess since we have this now, we'll go to the PowerPoint. You remember the PowerPoint we were going to see Tuesday? Yeah. We're going to go over that tonight. And it should pop up here in a second. Okay. Let's see if I can make that bigger. I know I can make that bigger. How do I make it bigger, Brett? Do you know how to make it bigger? This whole thing. I know it's... Oh, here it is here. I can just do it here, I think. Ah, there we go. Y'all aren't supposed to be looking again. I want you to see it when it's ready. It won't... There it goes. Okay. This is live, you know. Let's see if this is... Can y'all see that? Is that big again or not? Is that bigger than it was? I don't want you to see the writing yet. Okay. Yes. Okay. This is my last time. If it's not big enough, we're going to go. It's not big enough. I mean, same size, but we're going to go with it. Okay. Can y'all see what it says? You can't see what it says at the top. It says, all legitimate authority comes from God. Now, what developed here is I was on the Dr. Jim show this Tuesday, and we were talking about these issues. And I said, you know, one of these days I ought to demonstrate, because we were talking about Romans 13, by the way, that all legitimate authority comes from God. But there is authority that has power, but doesn't come from God. I said, I ought to make some kind of PowerPoint on that one of these days. He said, why don't you do that and send it to me? I said, okay. And so he said, oh, I was just teasing. I said, no, I need to do it, and I'll send it to you as well. And so that's how this came about, and I made it Tuesday. And, of course, we're not able to see it Tuesday, but we can see it tonight at least as good as we can. So first of all, you have legitimate authority, and I have it in categories. And first of all, we have authority in the family. Jesus Christ is over the entire family. The husband is over the wife in the sense of having authority. And the parents are over the children. So you see the pattern here. As we go, we're going to look at these different areas and the structure of authority in there. And way I've never seen anybody structure it the way I have. But that doesn't bother me. If I think I'm right, I'm going to show you. Now, if you can show me that I'm wrong biblically, then I'll change it. But this is the way I see it happening. By the way, where would you go in the Bible to find these three verses? I mean, these three issues, or at least husbands over wives and parents over children. What book, what epistle would you go to find that where those are right there neatly together in the verse? Well, some, but Ephesians 6 is right there together. Okay, so that's the first part. The second part, in the church, Jesus Christ is over all churches. He is the foundation of the church, the highest authority. I am an under-shepherd. I'm not a shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. In government, let's take this one at a time. First of all, Jesus Christ is over all. Now, if you think of it in these terms, of whoever is the creator is superior to the creation. And that we're going to see that pattern especially in government, as we're looking at the structure of authority in government. So Jesus Christ is over all. He's over everything anyway, isn't He? But I said this specifically because in our government, in our time, you can't even find Him. You can't even mention Him in a lot of places in government. Well, that doesn't change the fact that he has supreme authority over everything, including the government. Then we have the people over the Constitution. Now, we're talking about chain of command, the chain of authority. Now, the reason we have people over the Constitution, because who created the Constitution? The people. God created the people. The people created the Constitution. So there you have the authority structure. Then the next thing you have, the Constitution is over the government. You see, because once the Constitution, when you have a state, is not allowed into the Union unless it has a Constitution first. And it is the Constitution that governs the government. It says what it can and what it cannot do. And so it was through the Constitution that the people had made that created the government. You see the structure of creator, creation, creator, creation, going on down. Then we have the states over the federal government. And that's just backwards to the way most people think. Everyone today is saying, oh, well, the federal is superior. That's not true. Because the states created the federal government. And they are superior. And that's the way it is supposed to still operate today, because the states were formed as sovereign states. And what they decided to do was to delegate a few very defined things that they would allow the government to do for them. Outside of that, outside of the jurisdiction of the federal government, which does not include the states. You see, when the federal laws and everything that has to do with the federal is only for their jurisdiction. And they have, for instance, the territories are part of the federal government. You have ports and docks, federal buildings, these type of things. That is in the jurisdiction of the federal government. Very few places do they have jurisdiction and authority. Other than that, according to the 10th Amendment, if it's not specifically delegated by them by the states, to the federal government, they have zero authority. They have to stay within their jurisdiction. That's the way it's supposed to operate. Now, let's go through this again. Jesus Christ is over all. It was God who creates us, and Jesus Christ is God. You have the people over the Constitution, because a Constitution is not going to write itself. The Constitution was written by a number of men. I'd like to throw the Declaration of Independence in there as well. I think that was superior by Thomas Jefferson. But these are people who wrote these documents that are the foundation of our society. And then the Constitution is over the government, because the Constitution tells, actually it's the people telling the government through the Constitution in writing, you can do this, but you cannot do that. Except, and then the states are over the federal government, and then I have, except for delegated powers. And that's the ones that the states voluntarily, very specifically delegated to the federal government. Now, I don't know, some of y'all may have heard of Bill O'Reilly, the O'Reilly factor. And I've heard him say, probably in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I heard him say with my own ears at least 3 times, that federal law always trumps state law. He said it 3 times. He also said that anchor babies are legitimate unless we change the Constitution. That's not true either. And everyone on Fox, as far as I can tell, has said that when the Supreme Court came out with an opinion on same-sex marriage, that essentially is the law of the land. Now, one reason we are in the shape that we're in, because people are uninformed. They're ignorant. Those who think that they can be ignorant and free believe what never was or never will be. That's why we're suffering, because the abysmal ignorance that people have about their own government They've never read the Constitution. They don't know anything about the Bill of Rights. I mean, when you get Jesse Waters or you get Jay Leno and they go out with a microphone, and it's, I mean, we laugh. I mean, we chuckle. But really, we should be crying. The average American today is abysmally ignorant of just about everything. But these are very costly. And so they don't know their rights. And so we can't just listen to the news and listen to the people who are supposed to be in the know. Most people look at Bill O'Reilly, and this is he's nothing. I'm nothing. It's not about the person. I'm just talking about the principle that people look at him and he acts and talks like he is an expert on just about everything. And he talks with certitude. He's dogmatic. And he's able to have people that come on his show that disagree with him, and he's an expert at minimizing them, and he's controlling all the levers of power on his show and makes it look like, oh, well, he must be right. And that's what we cannot do. We must go to the documents themselves, our own history. If you don't know your rights, by the way, do you have them? What good are they if you don't know them and you can cite them? How many of you know the five parts of the First Amendment to the Constitution? I've asked you before, if you don't know them, how can you expect for them to be your protection? First of all, we have the freedom of religion, we have the freedom of speech, we have the freedom of press, we have the freedom of assembly, and the freedom to petition government, redress of grievance. We can complain to the government, and that is, they can't stop us from doing that. And if someone comes up to you and you were out protesting, carrying a sign or something, they say, you need to get a permit from that. You can say, you know what, I need to educate you about the First Amendment. I have a God-given right to do this. And that is given to me not by the government, but by God. And I don't have to get a permit from a government that I am opposing in this country. That you don't have to do that. Well, if you didn't know about the redress of grievance, maybe you wouldn't have the will to do that. I'm not fussing. I mean, I'm not pointing this at you. I'm just saying this is why we are in the shape we're in, because people don't understand this structure. There's one more here down at the bottom. This is in courts. What is the authority structure in courts? And here again, we have Jesus Christ is over all courts. And I don't care how supreme the Supreme Court may be on this earth, it's nothing compared to the Supreme Court of heaven. Jesus Christ is the judge there. So Jesus Christ is over all courts, and here's another that might be shocking. Juries are over judges and attorneys. How many of you have the jury book? Have you all read this? If you've read this, then you know that when you're on a jury, you're more powerful than the president, the vice president, the Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court. You decide whether this person is going to go free or whether they're going to be punished. And you're not only judging the facts of the case, you are judging the law as well. And if that law is unjust, unconstitutional, or immoral, you can vote not guilty every time, no matter what the judge may instruct, and you will be standing with the highest authority, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that people don't think of. They think that the judge is the highest authority. Now, he conducts the court procedures, but it's the juries that decide what's going to happen. At least it's still that way at this point. And then you have judges over attorneys. Now, the attorneys squabble with one another and they do all their things, but it's the judge that says, no, this is confirmed or this overrules. So he has some authority there. But that's what I see as legitimate authority that God has delegated in these areas, and that's the way I see that He has structured them. And we need to have this in our minds so that we can not be fooled when someone comes up. Like if someone, let's say it's some congressman, or let's make it a governor. The governor, like the one in Arkansas, that said when the Supreme Court ruled on the same-sex case, he says, well, I don't agree with that, but we have to comply because it's the law. We can say, really? Can you show me that? Can you show me the law where Kim Johnson broke? You cannot. She was obeying the law. She was the only one obeying the law. And those who put her in jail are the ones that should go there. They were outlaws. They were outside the law. And yet we hear everything just the opposite these days. Let's get over here. Johnson. I say that every time. Thank you, Pete. I don't know when I think of Davis being a common name, and Johnson, just I'm surprised I don't call her Kim Smith. Okay, on the illegitimate side, this is illegitimate authority. Now, these are areas where and positions that do have authority, they do have power, but they were not delegated by God. And the first thing we have is a dictator. A dictator sure throws his weight around, but it's illegitimate because he didn't get his authority from God, because God only gives authority to those, legitimate authority, to those are who is his ministers for good. And a dictator is not a minister of God for good. He's a minister of Satan for bad. And here's somebody's buddies here. Despots, tyrants, mafia leaders or mafia heads, street gang leaders, warlords, all these can have tremendous authority, but they're not legitimate. Why? Because God did not delegate it to them. Furthermore, we have government bullies. Any government official who requires you to do something that is not constitutional, is not moral, is not just, is just bullying. Unconstitutional laws are illegitimate authority. You don't have to obey them because they are null and void as if they never existed. Remember that? Mulberry versus Madison. Unjust and are immoral laws. Well, most of the time, an unconstitutional are in this category as well. But just to make sure you recognize, an unjust and are immoral law is illegitimate. And anything that is illegitimate is essentially null and void, and we don't have to pay any attention to it. Now, I say that, but I will make a caveat to that as well. In our society, when you do that, you will be right within your rights. You will be within your rights to do that. And you will be right with God for standing for truth and righteousness. But you also may be putting yourself in jeopardy because of the times that we live in. We live in desperately wicked times. But it's your choice. But you need to make an educated decision and not just go along with the crowd. This is what everyone else is doing, so this is what I will do as well. Abusive husbands are illegitimate authorities. And wives, if your husband is abusing you, you have the freedom to leave him, defend yourself, whatever you can do, but you do not have to obey any authority, wherever it is, if it is outside the boundaries of the authority that God delegates. And anything that is abusive, anything that is tyrannical, is outside of the delegated authority. False teachers. You don't have to, if you go to a church and you have some pastor that's teaching false doctrine, his authority is zero, because he's not reflecting the authority that God has given him. See, he's in another camp. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. They look like pastors. They look like good husbands. They look like a good government official. They have the color of those offices, but they are not. It's illegitimate because they are on Satan's side and contrary to God, which negates their authority. Activist judges. Here's the last thing here I wanted to put. I'm sorry you can't see this. I'll read it to you. I thought this was going to be bigger. I've got to put my glasses on to see it. But this is very important. This is kind of a encapsulation of all that has to do with illegitimate authority. No government official can lawfully act apart from having a written law that was properly enacted by the Congress supporting his action. No government official can lawfully act apart from having a written law. You see, sometimes you ask somebody, let's say an officer tells you to do so-and-so, so-and-so. Okay, can you show me the authority that you have to do this? See this badge right here? That doesn't mean a thing. You might not even know if he's a legitimate officer. He may have, you know, just killed a cop down the road and stole his badge. I mean, you don't know what it is. But they have to have it written. See, that's the importance of having a written constitution. They have to point to that. This is what gives me the authority. And if it's legitimate, okay, we'll do it. If it's not legitimate, you can ignore it. So, no government official can lawfully act apart from having a written law that was properly enacted by Congress. Not executive orders. Not just making it up as you go along like so many judges and attorneys and government bureaucrats do, just out of thin air. And by the way, you have the right to ask someone when they tell you to do something, okay, can you show me the law that requires me to do that? And a lot of times they're going to say so-and-so, so-and-so. It's got to be a written law that was enacted properly by the Congress before they have the proper support to force you to do something or not do something. One more time. No government official can lawfully act apart from having a written law that was properly enacted by Congress supporting that action. Remember, this is very close to what I've been telling you over and over again. I hope it's sticking by now. That in a free society, people don't need constitutional authority to act, but government does. And so if you're in a location and some policeman or some law enforcer, whoever it may be, says, you cannot protest here. You have to go over to such and such free zone, free speech zone. All you have to do is say, can you show me the law that requires that? You see, they can't do it because the First Amendment is superior to anything else. Because it is the laws that are made from the Constitution that comply with the Constitution that are the highest law in the land. And any law that they make that is contrary to the Constitution or Bill of Rights is null and void. Now, I'm not trying to get y'all in trouble. I'm not trying to get you, what I'm trying to get you to see is to think independently minded and not just go along with the flow because that's what everyone else is doing. We've been doing that for way too long. I'd like to see something written by one of you one of these days that you, maybe it was some kind of experience where someone was trying to bully you and you just said, I'm not talking about being belligerent or being arrogant. Just say, okay, can you show me the law for that? And does it comply with the Constitution? Because if it doesn't, I don't have to comply to it. Because if it goes against the Constitution, it is what? Two words, three words, null and void. Don't do that if you don't know what you're talking about, and if you're not willing to stand up for it and maybe even suffer for it, for standing up for liberty. Okay, I was asked this question when I presented this. How do we substantiate the authority as legitimate in such areas as teachers over students, officers over enlisted men, etc.? That is, those not specifically designated in Scripture. Well, for the ones that I showed, for the most part, that's easy because it's written in Scripture. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's cut and dried. I mean, it's right there in Scripture. When we're talking about the pastor having authority in the church, you know that everyone here could vote and say, we want this wall right over here painted red. I don't think that's what the Lord wants us to do. We're going to leave it green. And all of your votes will not cancel out mine. Now, I'm not trying to be a dictator or a tyrant. This is the structure of the church. Now, if all of y'all agreed and you were serious enough about that wall being red, you could vote to throw me out. and I would be out of here. And you could get you a pastor that said, yeah, I think that wall needs to be red too. That's the authority structure, see? That's the way it's supposed to work. So the reason I'm saying that is in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 13, talks about the pastor having authority in a church and other places as well. What I'm saying is those are easy to understand because they are specifically in the Bible, in the Word of God. So here's my answer to this question, at least in part. Officers in the military have a code of conduct and procedures to follow, and so do teachers. They just don't hire... You're not an officer, you're not a teacher, without going through the proper training and understanding the procedures. You can do this, you can't do this. You have to dress this in a certain way, and this a certain way. So in the two ones that we have here, they already have in writing the proper procedures and what they can and cannot do. But more importantly, they have a biblical code of conduct that comes from God, which they are required to follow. And this is not only is it in the military, if you're in the school district or whatever, wherever you are, whoever you are, this applies to you. Because we have it in writing here as well. There are some specifics. Well, I gave you a few of the structure of authority. But the highest authority is always requiring us to comply with His code of ethics, with the laws that He has encoded. Now, I'm not saying we're under the Mosaic law, but there are universal laws that have existed from the time of Adam and Eve all the way till now. And we are to comply with those, whether it's mentioned or not, because God holds us accountable. This might help as well. You don't have to be a believer for His code to apply, because it applies to every person in every place. It is known as the natural law, or God's natural law. And God's natural law is ubiquitous. It covers the earth just like gravity does. You cannot get away from it. So even if specifically there are areas that are not mentioned in the Bible in the authority structure, God's law, natural law, applies to every person everywhere on this planet. You know what that means? You can't get by with anything. I mean, you can try, but you're essentially going to answer to God for whatever you do. Be sure your sin will find you out. Remember, we had that with Jonah. You can't sin and think, oh, well, it's just going to... Nobody knows. Well, God knows, and that's the biggest one you need to be concerned about. So even if it's not specifically granted in the Bible or specified about this chain of command, whoever it is, wherever they are, if they have any authority at all, it's not legitimate if it is not just, if it's not fair, and if it's outside the boundary of the delegated authority that God gives. And see, the only legitimate authority is that God delegates. And I just listed a few of them here. How about on a sports team? I mean, there's a structure there. I guess it'd be the owner would be the one. By the way, why would it be the owner in sports that has the ultimate authority on a team? Why would it be him? He created the team. He's the one that, you know, had the money to purchase whatever it was. He created it, so he has the supreme authority over it. Just a minute. Then it would break down to where there may be some management. There are coaches. There is athletic directors. In this structure, I'm sure there's a chain of command. But again, it starts with the owner. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. He has the last word because it's his team. He created it. And anytime the owner would do something that is unjust, that is offensive to God, even though it's not mentioned in the Bible, he is still held accountable. He's not going to get by with cheating. He's not going to get by with trying to subvert things in order for him to make more money or to have a better edge over the others. That's called cheating, and still, he's going to be held accountable. So I hope that this helps in this, what is legitimate authority, which is only that which God delegates, and only those staying within those bounds of delegated authority are legitimate. Those that are not delegated to whatever authority it may be, dictators, despots, warlords, mafia, whoever, they created that authority on their own, apart and opposed to God. So it's not legitimate. You don't have to submit to that. Now, you may want to. I mean, if a mafia head has a gun up to your head and says, I want you to give me your money or whatever it is, I don't know if that would be a wise time to say, no, you see, you don't have authority over me. I don't have to listen to you. Well, that might not be the best time to do that. So you have to use some judgment. You have to have some discernment. But this, I hope, will be helpful for you to recognize, who do you answer to? We always answer to God. And what we have in this nation, in our society today, a lot of people who have put God out of the picture, and now they're listening to people, the Attorney General, the Federal Attorney General, going down into the states and making judgments out of their jurisdiction, beyond their delegated authority, and everyone is acquiescing to it because they hear people saying, well, federal always trumps states, and that's simply not true. Yes.
Wouldn't you think that two other areas played a large part in that too, like whoever foots the bill and the responsibilities are greater the higher up you are? I mean, you know, like you have a CEO and you have all these breakdowns within managements and everything, but ultimately it goes back up to the top somewhere and somebody's more responsible for seeing that the whole thing goes right.
Yeah, I just ran out of room. Do you know I had... In business was another one, and I had to just take it off because I didn't have room. And in business, it's management that is over labor, wherever it may be.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that labor isn't important. They need each other, but when it comes to the final authority, it's management. But we could go even further than that. Unless the management is an owner, the owner would have authority over management because he created it. And then he has delegated authority down the chain.
Sort of like a team leader.
Well,
I couldn't resist.
Okay. Well, boy, that ate up a lot of time. But I thought it was worthwhile. This will be on the Internet. Carrie, when is this going to be on the Internet, you reckon? No, I said when. Okay, well, this will be out, I guess, by Monday. But also, I would encourage people that are live streaming as well, if we have your email address, if you will send it to us, then we can send, this can go out tonight over email. And I think, what, we have over 100 emails? And it could go out, and you can have it tonight. And if you don't want it, just delete it or whatever. We also are going to have Bill Riles was on this Wednesday, and I was on Tuesday. We're going to try to get those out to you as well. So if you want to hear them, all you have to do is click, and I can assure you, you're going to learn from both of those interviews. Oh, yeah, and tomorrow there's a lady that's going to be on the Dr. Jim show from 9 to 9:30. Her name is Chris Ann Hall, and she is... a constitutional attorney, and she doesn't act like one. Let me put it this way. And of course, this has nothing at all to do with Craig. I mean, we know that Craig's an attorney, but just like there are a lot of sorry pastors, but that doesn't make me a sorry pastor. And the old joke that they say that 99% of the lawyers give the others a bad name, he would be that other part. And I'm not saying that because he's sitting here, because I know him. He's a phenomenal guy, just as grand as he can be. But she is a an attorney, and I listened to her on her website. I went to her website to check her out. And she is all about liberty. She's a mom, and she goes around the country speaking. And if you go to Chris, I think it's Chris Ann. Chris Ann is her first two, Chris Ann, they kind of go together. ChrisAnnHall.com to her website. And you can click on, I think she's got a little video, YouTube there to tell you about what she is. And her bio would make you, did you read it? You'd want to gag reading her bio. You talk about a big turnaround. She was the liberal of the liberals. Everything that you can think of, she was a big environmentalist. She was all for gun control. She was for the New World Order. She was just as liberal as you can get. So somewhere along the way, God got her attention. She's a Christian too, by the way. And she's very passionate. She's going to be on the Dr. Jim Show tomorrow from 9 to 9:30. So, and you know, you all know how to get on the Dr. Jim Show, right? Yeah. You can just go to our website, Country Bible Church, and click on his link, and you'll be able to hear it, the audio there. Yeah, if you get on her website, she has quite... I'm surprised. How did... Yeah? Well, if there's any question about... Well, let me put it this way. There won't be any question about where she stands. She is very vociferous as far as letting you know where she stands, but she backs it up as well. So that might be something you want to check out. Okay, we have a little less than 1 minute left. I was going to go to Colossians. I didn't know that we were going to be able to see this PowerPoint. We need to think in an organized way in our thoughts. We need to be organized in our mind. And hopefully this PowerPoint is going to help you think in terms of, okay, what is the structure? Who do I answer to? And not only in these areas, but in every area of life, we need to think of that. I don't know how many wives have contacted me over the years and asked me, well, my husband said I couldn't take in doctrine anymore, and I can't go to church or something like that. What should I do? They understood that he was the head of the house. I said, he stepped outside of his delegated authority. It's as null and void as if he had never said it. And you can go to the Scriptures to find that out. You see, all that a lady in this situation would have to say is, you know, I and to the husband, and tell him, not in a caustic or haughty or arrogant way, just said, you know, I cannot obey you because I answer to a higher authority than you. And you are crossways with that authority. And if I obeyed you, I would be crossways as well. So I have to respectfully decline obeying you on this issue because I answer to a higher authority. And then if he wants to double down on that and abuse you more, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. The Lord is going to take care of him big time. Okay. Boy, I had a good Colossians message for you tonight. But we'll get to that next time, Lord willing. Let's close. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to focus on your word. Truth is so refreshing to us. It just resonates in our soul. It just rings in our ears. We love to hear it. Whether it has to do with gun control, whether it has to do with the structure of authority, whether it has to do especially with government and your word, we're just so pleased and thankful that you've given us the opportunity to put these pieces together and recognize that you are all in all. And this world is not about us. In fact, our lives should be all about Christ. We need to think of him before we just have a knee-jerk reaction and obey something that would be contrary to your perfect will. We pray that you will give us the discernment on these things as we continue to grow in grace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.